Hi. This week the question is, why did Jesus come to earth? Last week we noticed six reasons why Jesus came to earth. Number one, Jesus came to save his people, Matthew 1:21. His people are the church, Ephesians 5 verse 25. Number two, Jesus came to bring the Old Testament to an end, Matthew 5 verse 17. He brought it to an end by fulfilling it. Number three, Jesus came to save sinners, not righteous people, Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. He expects people living in sin to change. Number four, Jesus came to bring division, Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. Some people in a family will obey, but others will not obey, and this will cause division in homes. Number five, Jesus came to preach the gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 38. And this is the only way anyone can know what they should do. Number 6, Jesus came to do God's will, John 6, verse 38. He did not do what he wanted. And now we continue our investigation. Why did Jesus come to earth? Well, number 7, Jesus came for judgment. In John 9, verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." This is an interesting passage because later Jesus would say the following. In John 12, verse 47, Jesus said, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Now, how can both of these statements be true? How could Jesus say in John chapter 9 that he came for judgment, and then three chapters later in chapter 12 he would say he came not to judge the world? Well, in chapter 9, when Jesus says, "For judgment I have come into this world," he means his presence in this world compels men and women to make a decision regarding him. Those who align themselves against Jesus are judged already, John 3, verse 18. Not because Jesus himself judged them, but because they judged themselves unworthy of eternal life, Acts 13, verse 46. In chapter 12, however, when Jesus says, "I did not come to judge the world," he means only that his first coming to the earth was not to execute judgment. Jesus' first coming was an effort to save men. When he returns the second time, it will be to execute judgment, when unbelieving men and women will be sentenced to everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 9. Number 8, Jesus came that people might have life. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." The life which Jesus offers is eternal life. No one can have eternal life apart from Jesus, John 14, verse 6. This means that no Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, or any other faith has eternal life which it can offer to its people. In order to be saved, all men must forsake their Protestant denominations, their outdated religions, their cults, and man-made religions, and come to Jesus on his terms, being baptized into his one church for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verses 37 through 47. Number 9, Jesus came to be a light in the world. In John 12, verse 46, Jesus said, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Jesus is a light in the sense that he brought truth. Yes, there is such a thing as truth. Jesus told the truth about where men came from, why they're here on the earth, and what will happen to them and to the earth. He is a light in the sense that he lived a pure life without sin and set a perfect example for others to see and follow. So many times, role models disappoint us. As a matter of fact, it's difficult to think of any role model these days worth following. But Jesus always did what was right all the time. Number 10, Jesus came to die on the cross. In John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour." Jesus here has reference to his approaching death on the cross. He's saying to his disciples that he is not going to begin praying to God and asking God to save him from the bitter death on the cross, because dying on the cross is why he came to the earth. In Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Notice carefully what this passage is saying. Behold, I have come. Why did Jesus come? To do your will, O God, the scripture says. To do God's will concerning what? A body you have prepared for me, verse 5 says. Jesus was given a human body. He was given this body through the Virgin Mary. He would give his body in sacrifice for the sins of all men. Verse 5 says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." All through the Old Testament, men were offering animal sacrifices when they sinned. But animal sacrifices did not actually save anyone. Those animal sacrifices were only a shadow of Jesus, who would come and give himself as a sacrifice. Jesus lived a flawless life. He always did what he was supposed to do. He never at any time left something undone. He never treated anyone in a sinful way. He never said anything that was sinful. He never thought in a sinful way. Jesus was absolutely flawless. When he was taken and crucified on the cross, he was not being tortured because of anything he had done. He was not put to death because of his own sins. He was crucified to take away our sins. Now, to illustrate, suppose that you owe the hospital a large sum of money. Does the hospital care if someone else comes along and pays your bill for you? Of course not. The hospital only wants their money. They don't care who pays the bill, just as long as the bill gets paid. Well, in a similar way, each of us has sinned. Each of us has a debt of sin which we can't pay. God didn't care so much about who paid the debt, just as long as the debt got paid. And Jesus came and paid the debt for us. Why? Well, only because he loved us. That's all we can say. He had no other motive. He made us, he loved us, and he died to save us from our sins. Anyone can be saved if they follow the simple instructions given by the Apostle Peter. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." There is no record in the Bible of men celebrating the birth of Jesus every year, but there is a record of Christians assembling every Sunday to break bread in memory of the Lord's death. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Jesus said, "Therefore, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Christians eat the communion in memory of the great debt that was paid by the Lord, and they do it every Sunday because that was the day Jesus arose from the grave, in Mark 16, verse 9. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to save us from our sins. He can save you too if you come in obedience to the gospel. Well, thanks for considering our message these past 2 weeks. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. And there at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of the message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.